We are on the Rambam Hilchos Nedarim Perek Aleph Halacha Yud, Chapter 1, Law 10. We have come up with a basic rule that we have to know, is that when you make a vow, a neder, for example, that you say, I will not eat fruits of this country. So it's got to be the type of a vow that grabs onto an expression where you are treating this as something that would normally be permitted, and that now you make usur. You're comparing it to something that had a time of permissibility that you're making it usur. But if the thing was always usur, then it doesn't catch on to that. So that's why every example said, if these fruits should be to me like treif. Well, treif always is usur, so therefore it doesn't work. You have to grab on to something that you can make usur as well. For example, you're saying these fruits should be like a korban. Once you make something a korban was a permissible animal, now the animal is not permissible. So if I want to say my fruit should be like a korban, that's a valid vow. If my fruit should be like treif, that's not a valid vow, because treif is always treif. A korban, God said it's treif. A korban, it's your animal. But now you've given it to the Beis Hamikdash, oh, now you can't have it. So you've got to grab on, your successor vow must grab on to something that's similarly, right? That what is your vow? You're taking something that's permitted to you, and you're making it not permitted to you. So any types of catch phrases you want to make it like have to work similarly. So now the Rambam is going to go into greater detail on that point. So he's already said, if these fruits to me are like a korban, then that's a good vow. Then they're like a korban. So now we're going to get into specific korbanos, and you're going to see that, you know, some korbanos, you can vow korbanos, but there's a couple really that don't come by a vow. And that's what the Rambam is going to show, that really even any type of korban will be a good vow, as he's going to explain in Halacha Yud. Let's say hachatas, a korban chatas, okay, that is done when you do an avera b'shogeg, okay, against the lo sase, or an osham. Let's say you were chayiv for something that you did wrong, you have to bring an osham. Afal pi she'ein boin b'neder dava, those offerings do not come by a vow, but it's because there's an obligation. You did a sin, now you're obliged to bring it. So maybe these kinds of korbanos, if I want to make a vow that my fruit should be like this korban chatas, maybe you'd think wouldn't work. Kemoshi's bar makom, as we explain. F, sure, but no. Leno der lohavi osa machmas nidro. It is possible there are some korban chatos and some korban oshams that do come voluntarily, and you're wondering which ones. For example, shano der benazir, a guy voluntarily becomes a nazir. Right? You don't have to be a nazir, but what happens when you finish your nazir period, even under the best of circumstances? Mevi chatos, you bring a chatos when you finish your Nazirite time. And what if you vowed to be a nazir and then for whatever reason you became tamei? Vim nitma mevi yoshim. You bring a korban oshim, kamoshi's korban. So even though the guy says these fruits should be like a chatos and an oshim, remember, there is an overall assumption that we generally make, is that when a person says, you know, I want these fruits to be like this, we're assuming the guy wants to make it osur on him. Exactly. Like, I want these fruits to be like bubblegum. You know, like why, they're already mutter to you, so why would you say an expression is totally mutter to you? The assumption is that the guy's trying to make it osur to him. Now, it could be he's just using a wrong language and that won't work. If he says, I want this fruit to be like pig, well, sorry, you used the wrong language. The equation doesn't allow us to do it. But if there's a way that we could interpret it to assume he meant to say it in a way that it's a binding way, we'd assume that that's the way he wanted to do it. So if he says, I want my fruits to be like a korban chatas, well, of course, most korban chatas, it's not voluntary, it wouldn't work. So it must be we would try to interpret it in a way of how he meant it. He must have meant, like the korban chatas, that does come voluntarily. So that's the point he's saying. Lefika, therefore, ha'omer, if a person says, Perus elu olai kechatos akashem, these fruits to me should be like a korban chatos or a korban oshem. We're going to see in a minute. It's going to be osur. O Shomri says, Hare Heim Chatos, Hare Heim Hashem. Or if he says these fruits are a chatos, so they are an Hashem. Hare Elu Asurim, they are prohibited, because he now made the vow grab on to something that comes, that becomes only usur by a vow. Vein tzarech lomar bo, it goes without saying that the fruits would be prohibited if he said, Hare hem ola, o shlamim, o mincha, o toda, Hashem Asurim. If he says it's like an ola, or a shlamim, or mincha, toda, they're prohibited. Shekol Elu, because those four always boin b'neder nedava, either come as a neder or a nedava offering. Remember, he said, a neder and a nedava is what? Neder says, I oblige upon myself to bring a korban toda, while a nedava is, I say, this is a korban toda. Either way, it's a vow, but there's different discussions of achrayas. Okay, now, in Yerav, he's going to say, but there's other things, if you're going to make it like this, it will not be a vow, because these things you have to do, and there is no choice. Aval ha'omer, you say, peris elu alai kechalas aron, that these fruits are like challah that I separate. Why do we mention aron? Because he was the first of the Kohanim. He didn't have to say chalas aron. Rambam just threw in that expression. He says, I want this fruit to be like challah that's separated from dough. Okay? O kitrumaso, or it's like truma. Either truma gedol or trumas meiser. Harelu maturim, these fruits now would be permitted, even though challah and truma are aser for a zor, but still she'ein shom derech lahavi el b'neder davar. There's no way you can give challah as a vow, as a gift, you know, because I mean on your own volition, as opposed to obliged. Challah is an obligation. Truma is an obligation. Meiser is an obligation. Again, you can only compare it to something that you benevolently have decided to make usur on yourselves. It doesn't work.
Either one could.
Yeah, but these are things you have to do. You got to give challah. You got to give.
You have a choice who to give it to.
But yeah, but you got to give truma. So there's no choice over here. Yud Beis. Now, what if he picks expressions that relate to a korban, although it's not exactly the thing, as it were, but it's related to a korban. Rama's going to basically say, we assume he is making it like a korban. That's what he meant. Omar, hare ha-peres elu alai kenoiser. These fruits are like noiser. We know if you leave a korban overnight or past the time when you're permitted to eat it, it is now called noiser and has to be burnt. He says, I want my fruits to be like noiser of a korban. All right? Or kepigel. Like Pigel. Remember Pigel, if a Kohen has a bad thought during his service, while he's doing the service, he says, you know, I'm doing the service and I'm planning on doing something that's illegal on this, even though he doesn't. But just the bad thought that already makes the carbon no good. So I want these fruits to be like Pigel, o kebusser tame, or busser that's tame from a korban, shel kachim, I should have said two more words, of kachim, tame kachim, she can't eat. Harei asurim, they're all usur. It's a bona fide vow. Why? Because sherei asum kibsar korban mikomokum, because they still want to make it like the meat of a korban. Even though, remember, when it becomes nosar, it's not that you voluntarily made it nosar. But since this is all coming as a follow-up to a korban, which you voluntarily made it, so then we understand that the vow was mainly for the kedushas of a korban, that only after, so since the korban basically, initially, is something you voluntarily do, even though you're using levels afterwards where it's coming upon you against your will, but since the initial korban was voluntary, so we consider it as if you really were just saying, it's like I wanted to bring a korban. Okay, next, Yud Gimel. This is a tricky one here. Homer, if a guy says, I want these fruits to be like what? Hare heim olai kimaser behema. I want this to be like the 10th cow. Then what's the law? If you have cows, what do? You take all the cows in the pen, you make them go through a very narrow opening, and the 10th one, you put a little paint on it, and those are the ones you give. Now let's think for a minute.
You have no choice.
Yeah, so on the one hand, you figure it shouldn't be a good vow, because you got to give it. Well, not necessarily. He says, Hare Ela Surin, these fruits are Asur, okay, even though, and why? Hoel ukdushaso bidei adam, because their holiness comes through the activities of a person, because there's ways of getting around Meiser Behema. Okay? Let's say there were 10 sheep, and you took one out without counting them. It's not a holy animal, right? So in other words, you've got to go through that process. It's not like Truma Meiser, where all your animals become Tevel. See, Truma Meiser, you don't got a choice. If, well, I'm not giving. Okay, you're not giving. It's all Tevel. So go sit with your whole crowd for being Tevel, right? If you say, well, I got 10 cows that were born this year, 10 sheep born this year. I'm not giving any. I'm eating the other ones. Well, nothing's going to stop you. So you've got to, and it only really happens when I choose to pass them through the narrow gate, as it were. And that's what sets it off. And if I choose not to, I don't have to.
You've not done the mitzvah.
So therefore, there is a certain degree of sanctification that you're choosing to make happen that does not have to happen necessarily. Hmm. That's a bit of a stretch, but that's what he's saying.
It's not automatic like before.
What?
It's not automatic.
Let's look at the next halakha. Don't take question. What if he says, Harei hema like a bechor? These are like a bechor. Bechor is different. Once the firstborn animal comes out, it's usher to you, period. Doesn't matter what you do. Harelim l'torim, then the fruits are permitted because you're grabbing it onto something that's usher automatically. Shein kedushaso bidei adam. The kedusha bechor does not happen through the activities of a person. This is the rule. Ve'ene yochel lahatbiso b'neder. That's the catch word. And you can't latbiso, grab onto it with a vow. Shenemar, because by a neder it says, what makes a net, by Bechor rather, I shouldn't have said that, by Bechor, it says, lo yaktish iso so. You can't sanctify a Bechor for something else. Let's say you have a Bechor and I want to give it to the Beis HaMikdash as a present Beis HaMikdash. You can't, because it's not yours already. It already has its Kedusha. So that's the point. The Rambam is now, the Chiddush of this halacha is if the Kedusha really depends on you. And if you do nothing, there will be no Kedusha and there will be no penalty to you. Again, as juxtaposed to Truman Meiser, yeah, you say, well, the Kedusha is because I separated it. Well, yeah, but if you don't separate it, you got nothing. And you're going to have to separate it. You just don't got a choice. No one's going to watch this whole field get destroyed, right? While animals, well, I'll eat the 9 and leave the other one around. So I don't necessarily have to do it. So therefore, I've got to actively give it. Yes.
Isn't part of Truma dependent on the person and he can choose?
Yeah. That's only afterwards, but he has to separate it. He has to give Truma. He has no choice. How much he gives, that doesn't matter. I hear what you're asking. Well, technically, I only have to give 1/40th. Mm-hmm. So the but I guess once you have to give it already, you have to give it.
So the animal is like saying, like my 10% tzedakah.
And I'm not choosing to give it. Yeah. That's right. What if you don't give any Meiser money? You can't use your money? You could use your money. You didn't do a mitzvah. So that's the same thing. Okay, moving on to Yud Daled. Again, more of these similar types of expressions. Amar, if he says about these fruits, Harei heim olai kecher mei shomayim. They are things that I cherme, consecrating to heaven. Where a person says, I make this hektish. That's basically what it is. Well, obviously, that's voluntary. Would I decide to give the hektish? I decide to give the hektish. Harei el asurim. It's usur. Why? Because what is cherme shamayim? What is consecrated to heaven actually mean? Shecherme shamayim always connotes lebedek habayis, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a special office in the Beis HaMikdash that you put money that was for this type of consecration and was used for the upkeep, and no one's allowed to benefit from it. So he just says, Kiker Cheshemaim, it's like a voluntary gift that I want to give to the Beis HaMikdash, and now I'm making it usur. What if he says, Harei Hemalai Kitruma Salishka? I want it to be like the Truma that I give into the Lishka, into that office. Now, this is interesting. Because this is what kesef was that? That was for buying korbanos tzibur, but those were the ones that you did not have to give. So it's also a voluntary thing. Now the next one's a little bit tricky here, and commentators don't say anything about, so it's been concerning me. He says that my food should be katmidim, like the korban tamid that was brought every day. It should be like a korban tamid. So, and that's referring like to the sheep that you'd bring as the korban tamid. So my commentary says this is something that's given voluntarily because it's paid for with the shkolim. But I don't get it because you have to give shkolim.
Yeah.
But again, maybe the point is, but what if I choose not to? Mm-hmm. Again, let's go back to some of the other ones. Let's say challah. If I don't give challah, what happens?
Can't
I can't eat my challah, so I am forced to. What happens if you don't give a ma'aser shekel? I guess we come back to that same thing. So I think what's emerging from this Rambam is if I don't really, I mean, it's a mitzvah, yeah, but so I don't have to do it. I mean, you have to do it in terms of a mitzvah, but nothing's forcing me besides God. But there's no pragmatics that's forcing me. If I don't separate challah from that challah, I'm chayv misa if I eat that challah. So it's like I don't really have a choice. I mean, I made the challah to eat the challah. Well, I'm not going to give the challah. Well, you got to, right? You got to give truma. You got to give meiser. Do I got to give machzor shekel? Yes, in terms of it being a mitzvah, you do. But what about in terms of using all of my money? No, I don't. So therefore, it takes on a status of a philanthropic gift, where it's still, I'm taking it and I'm making it osur, as opposed, even better, let me even say better. When you don't give shuma, all your crops are immediately teva.
Right.
So it's already osur. So even when I make a truma, it's going from an osur state to a truma state, and I still can't have it. So it's always been osur upon you. Challah, your challah is all osur till you separate it. And when I separate it, it stays osur. My money, it's all mine. Who says which shekel has to go to the base of English? A, B, and if I don't, nothing happens to me. So even though there's an idea, there is a mitzvah that obligates you to do it, but I still don't, quote unquote, have to. Because I can live my life as a sinner, very happy.
Why is that different than the tenth animal?
Same thing. Yeah. So I'm trying to, because, right, okay, I'm just spelling it out. Okay. Now, the next number of words are things that are associated with things that are hektish, and we assume that that's expression that he's saying is going together with that. For example, kadirim. I want his fruits to be like a pen of animals that are put away for a korban. Okay? In other words, a deer is a pen. And he means the pen, when you sanctify an animal, you put it in a pen. So I mean the pen for the sanctified animal. Because otherwise, what's he saying? Again, well, maybe he meant a pen, you know, like his pen on his farm in Texas. Well, then what are you making it like the pen for? Obviously, there were special pens that animals that were given to the Beis HaMikdash were put there. So that's what we have to say. It's going to be all these. Ke'etzim, like the wood. He means like the wood that's put on the Mizbeach that you have to do to burn the animals. Everything has to do with korbanos over here. It's something that's associated with it. Or ke'ishim, or like the fire that's there to burn the korban. Or kamizbeach, it should be like a mizbeach, where you bring the korban. Or one of the utensils that's used on the mizbech or for a korban. Kagon Shomer, for example, he says, these fruits are like the pans that spoon out the ashes of a korban, or kamiz rakos, or like the ladles where you ladle out the blood after you shech the animal, or kamiz lakos, or like the pitchforks that are used to move the pieces of meat on the fire of the mizbech. Who cares anything like that? It's like the innermost chamber in the Beis HaMikdash where Korbanos' blood is sprinkled on that. Oh, it's like Kirushalayim, like Yerushalayim. Now, what does he mean by that? Does he mean, you know, the Jerusalem soccer team that's there? No, he probably doesn't mean that. He means like Korbanos that have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Hare Elos, from all these expressions, make the fruit prohibited for the person. Even though he didn't say one word about a korban, again, we assume that that's what he means. All these things, if you ask word association, you know, mizlagos are associated with what? these pitchforks, not to shoot hay around the barn. All right? So they're all associated, Ka'omer, it's like he said, Harei Heim Olai Korban. It's as if he said, these are all like a korban for me. Okay. Now we're going into, again, other subtleties regarding korbanos and what is it that we mean regarding them. Continuing. Hoy lefana besar kodesh. Now let's say he's got meat that is right in front of him, holy meat. He brought a korban, he got a piece of meat that's kodesh. The animal's been slaughtered, and here's the meat. It's sitting right here. Afilo hayu besar shlomim, and this is even a shlomim. Achars rikas domim, after the blood has been sprinkled. At that point in time, you are allowed to eat that korban. When I first make the animal a korban shlomim, it's also to eat it. All right? But once you shech the animal, do everything you do, and you sprinkle the blood, and now we're looking at the meat that's sitting next to the mizbeach over there, that is shehumutah lazorim, that the zor is any Jew can eat it. So what would we say now? Is this meat permitted or not? Permitted, yeah. Right? Varman, he says, Harei heim olai kebasar zeh. My fruits are like this piece of meat right here.
Why is he saying it?
Because he wants to prohibit it. Harei el asurim, the fruits are prohibited.
Why?
Because what did he mean when he said it?
He meant before all that
this ela be'ikar. Because the main thing he meant was the beginning of it, which was the korban. Just like everything else we've been saying. Even though he's saying, I want my fruits to be like this, because he means what it originally was. Again, because otherwise, because what else would he, why would he say it on a permitted thing? This becomes this is like the idea by Nidorim, we usually go l'chumra. In other words, if the guy's opening his mouth, remember he said by oaths, we do it by what he's thinking. Remember, it's like what he was thinking is very important. So usually when a guy's making a vow, these fruits should be like what? Well, they're permitted now, so what are you trying to accomplish? You're trying to accomplish that they're prohibited. So we're going to try to figure, okay, what way can we associate with some kind of... Now, if he's totally off the wall, like Chazer, well, Chazer, you're missing the whole equation. It's just not something that one can make usher upon himself. So that, it's just too bad. But here, a korban shlomim, you could. So he probably meant, he just hopped. I already shechted it already. Okay, well, anyway, I don't want to eat my fruits. I want it to be just like this. He doesn't mean just like this now. It means like this, what started as a korban shlomim.
Shlomim is voluntary?
Yeah. Show you us. What if you got here, besar bechor, you brought your firstborn animal. And the animal now, what did it go? It goes for korban. Korban, I'm going to eat it. Now there's a piece of a bechor meat sitting out by the mizbeach. Im lifnei zrikas adamim. This is before the sprinkling of the blood, right? And here's a little tricky halacha here. And he's not calling it a bechor. Now, a bechor, even though it's a bechor, but the bechor status, what's the status of the meat? What do we treat it as? A shlomim. And he's not calling it a bechor. Remember, before he said, I want my fruits to be like a bechor, then we said that's not, what did we say about bechor? One second. Let me go back again. Bechor, we said it's nothing because the bechor is a bechor. Right? It's usur right away. But here, he has the meat of a bechor, but he doesn't call it a bechor. He says, I want my fruits to be like this piece of meat. Hareze usur. It's prohibited. Because we assume he's treating it like a shlomim, okay? And because either way, he's not calling it a bechor. So he means the shlomim aspect of the meat. I want to be like
the voluntary aspect of it.
Yeah, even though it's not really voluntary, but it's like a shlomim, and he means it to be like a shlomim. It's a bit of a stretch. But that's before this rikas damim, and where nobody can eat it yet. It's a shlomim that's prohibited. But after it's sprinkled, now no matter how you slice or raise the mutter, it's permitted. Because either way, it's mutter. Because if you meant it as a shlomim, well, now it's a mutter shlomim because the blood's been sprinkled. All right? And if you want to treat it like a bechor, well, then it's also a bechor. So therefore, it does not work. Okay.
So even after it's been sprinkled, you don't look back to how it was before.
Because the way it was before was a bechor.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem.
Right.
Tezayin is a very simple halacha.
In this particular case.
It's basically going to talk about people who have their oh. Thank you. Okay, I didn't realize. Thank you. Baruch Hashem, we're so into the learning, we lose track of time.
Why are you so noisy then?